bring to your attention tonight here in this familiar passage that we'll get to in a little bit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I want you to notice the word gentleness. And being Father's Day, I want to speak tonight on the subject of gentlemen. Gentlemen. And we see here the fruit of a Holy Spirit-filled man is gentleness. We are living in just horrendous times of prophetic proportion. We're living in days that are becoming more and more violent. The dictionary defines gentleness this way, as not severe, rough, or violent, mild, calm, or kind. Not severe, rough, or violent, mild, calm, and kind. I was at a store or something, I don't know where I was, and they had some free newspapers there to pick up on the way out. One was a sports newspaper of some sort with some local stories in them, and I flipped through it, and then on the back page there was a huge full-page ad for cage fighting. And it was talking about who was fighting who and so on and so forth, and just showed some just really hideous pictures of these fighters. And it made me think of violence. I want to say a few things about violence just so we'll see the importance of being gentlemen. If you're wondering where violence started, the Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel 28 that God one time created a cherub named Lucifer, who was perfect. His description is found beginning in verse 11 of Ezekiel 28. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. When it says, thou sealest up the sum, it means that Lucifer was like the ultimate creation of God. He was just awesome. He was just dazzling to look at. God had made no other creature as beautiful. He was described as perfect in beauty. Thou sealest up the sum. In other words, you're it. You are it when it comes to all that God ever made. Lucifer was the most amazing, amazing creature. If you or I saw him in this state, we would just say, wow. He was perfect in beauty. And by the way, do not be brainwashed by beauty. There is so much brainwashing today going on of women and young ladies and their pursuit of beauty. The Bible says that favor is deceitful. The desire to be favored, the desire to be popular, is deceitful. And beauty is vain. It's empty. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And I believe that so much of this emphasis on beauty today has satanic origins. He was perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, verse 13. Not this Eden, but he's here too. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every covering, every precious stone was thy covering. Boy, if you like jewelry, you like precious stones. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He was very, very musical. He just could dazzle people with his musical abilities. God created him that way. Thou art the anointed cherub. A cherub is an angelic creature that has two wings. Angels don't have wings. Cherubs have two wings. Seraphims have six wings. And it doesn't surprise me that there are so many images in our world today put over on people as angels that have two wings, of which people often give their adoration and worship. Angels don't have wings. Angels always appear as men in the Bible and often are unnoticed. People weren't even aware they were in the presence of angels. They were always males that just appeared in a human form. Cherubims have two wings, like Lucifer. And there's images like that everywhere. People got them in their houses and so on and so forth. I've told people to get them out of their house. I don't mean to be unkind. The Bible says in Colossians 2 and verse 8, you will lose your rewards if you worship angels. It's serious business. We're only supposed to worship God. What cherub you think's behind all that? Getting people to have images similar to him in their homes. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, as God was up on the mountain, and all of the hosts of the angelic beings were down in front of him. There was one cherub that was allowed to be up on the mountain with him, and he was the anointed cherub that covered. That means the cherubs, by the way, were a particular angelic creature that were created by God for the protection of holiness. And it's as though God were sitting on a throne and all kinds of angelic beings were in front of him, but one was behind him with his wings spread out over God, and his name was Lucifer. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. They all, the angels of heaven, all saw a day when God anointed Lucifer. He was the first anointing that God ever did. And he was so respected that even Michael dared not bring up a railing accusation against him after he had fallen, but rather said, the Lord rebuke thee. We need to be careful about our attitude towards those that are anointed, even those that have fallen. He just left them in God's hand. God's going to fix him. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now notice, when iniquity was found in Lucifer, he became a very corrupted being, and for the first time ever in history, we see the word violence. Verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I, God, will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. What was it that triggered Lucifer's pride? And pride is a sin. It was his beauty. Just as he tries to get people to emphasize beauty, whether they're men or women, and a handsome man or a beautiful woman often have a hard time being spiritual because Lucifer seems to always remind them of their beauty, and they trip over their own beauty. Don't be brainwashed by beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom, and I'll get to that a little later in the message, by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst
of thee, it shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee, and they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Wow, what corruption. Thou shalt be a terror. The midst of thee shall be filled with violence. So what is the origin of violence? The origin of violence is Lucifer in his pride. Oftentimes the Bible equates pride with wrath. Proud wrath, proud wrath, proud wrath. Proud people are often very, very angry people. But violence didn't end with Lucifer. He became a very, very violent being and has continued this war of violence for thousands and thousands and thousands of years against God and against God's creatures, mankind. And this will all end someday in Revelation 12 when there's going to be a war in heaven, Satan against Michael and all of his angels, and Satan and all of his angels. And the Bible says Satan will be cast out of heaven sometime in the future and will come down to earth in great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. Violence originated with Lucifer, but then it spread to man. By Genesis chapter number 6, we find that in the days of Noah, we have this description in verse number 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them from the earth. I want you to notice that one of the many descriptions of the days of Noah is twice it mentions here in verse number 11 and verse number 13, that in Noah's days, the earth was filled with violence. Now, when you get into the New Testament in the first book, Jesus begins to answer three questions that the disciples asked him. They said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus begins to talk about many, many things, distressful things and sorrows and wars and rumors of wars and so on and so forth. And then he describes the earth this way, just before the rapture, just before the second coming of Christ for his church. He says in verse number 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And so as we reflect back on Noah's day and we see the earth was filled with violence, I believe I can stand here with confidence today and I can say to you tonight, that things are going to get worse and worse and worse in this world and more and more and more violent. Edward Gibbons, in his amazing library that he wrote called The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, it's about this thick, and he was no Christian, just a historian who studied the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was never conquered from without. It rotted from within. And he named five main reasons why Rome fell. And one of them was because of the increase of violence in sports. It's unbelievable the violence that we see portrayed today on television, in movies, the grotesque violence that is portrayed in some of the most famous television shows that are shown weekly, the violence in every type of a major sport, and the violence we live in a day when there are women boxers, women cage fighters, men cage fighters, and just violent uprisings in nations, and beheadings, and all types of things. The earth was filled with violence in Noah's days. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Paul, and what I think is one of the most amazing prophecies in all of the Bible, that's one of the reasons I love the Bible, is it doesn't repel from prophecy. It tells you exactly what's going to happen on the earth. And that's only our God that can do that. He doesn't hesitate one second. He puts his whole credibility on the line when he says this is what it's going to be like in the last days. It's all credible. Paul says this. He says, this know also that in the last times, in the very first word out of his mouth, in the last days, he says, perilous. Perilous times shall come. Days filled with peril. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own self. Why did Satan, Lucifer, self-destruct? Because he loved his own self. You know, when you see a person full of pride, when you see a person full of anger, when you see a person filled with wrath, I'll tell you what the problem is, themselves. They're full of themselves. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that is incapable of controlling themselves, fierce. Fierce. This is the description of men in the last days. And I wanted to bring that all up to you because we see in our text tonight the very opposite. We see that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I want you to notice that when people are spiritual, one of their descriptions is gentleness. They are a gentle people. We are not a violent people. We are not a people of anger. We are not a people of wrath. I was prompted years ago to write a little book called Why Are Men So Angry Today? And I give seven reasons why men are so angry today. You could pick up this book and women could read it too. There's a lot of angry women today. But men are increasingly becoming angry because they're increasingly becoming proud and lovers of their own selves. There have been 50 shootings, multiple shootings in America in the last 2 years that have left over 200 people dead. And they've all been men. 99% of all violent rapes are perpetuated by men. Men are becoming angry today and full with wrath and its product of violence. They're becoming more and more like Satan because they're proud, because they're lovers of their own selves. But when a man dies to self and is filled with the Spirit, he's transformed. He's changed, and the fruit of the Spirit begins to take hold in his life. And the fruit of the Spirit produces a gentleman, a gentlewoman. Women have problems with anger too, don't they? The Bible talks about the angry woman in the book of Proverbs, the contentious woman in the book of Proverbs, the brawling woman in the book of Proverbs. Why do some women have problems with anger? Because of self, because of pride. Pride is a horrible sin. We are most satanic when we're proud. Do you find yourself maybe in the recesses of your heart or mind having violent thoughts? Angry thoughts? thoughts of wrath or malice towards others, but you don't act them out because you have at least enough self-control not to. Brethren, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to control us and change us. And He can. He can take your whole personality, my whole personality, and change us. You nor I have to be slaves to any kind of a weakness or temptation or fault or vice, because we have an almighty God who has come to dwell inside of us in the person of the Holy Ghost. And when He is allowed to work in us men, He makes us into gentlemen. Gentlemen. Gentlemen's an old-fashioned word. You don't hear much of it anymore. It used to be a compliment. It used to be a compliment for someone to say, he's a real gentleman. He's a real gentleman. In chivalrous days when men used to open doors for women and help women in their seats and help women carry the groceries and help women in the door of the car and so on and so forth. These were considered gentlemen. Oh, they rose to the occasion when they had to go to war and they weren't wimps or wusses, and they would be the man of the house. They'd be the strong man. They'd show discipline and they'd give discipline out to their children and so on, but they were gentlemen. Gentlemen, because our country was once a more spiritual country. And the prevalence of the Holy Spirit's power was producing men that would have a gentle demeanor about them. Gentleness. I want to say three things about gentleness. Number one, gentleness is spirituality. Our text has taught that to us here. Gentleness is spirituality. The nine fruit of the Spirit are in three directions. The first three is in our relationship towards God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And that deals with our relationship with God. The second three deal in our relationship with mankind. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. We show long-suffering towards mankind. We show gentleness towards mankind. We show goodness towards mankind. And the last three deal in our relationship with ourselves. Faith, meekness, and temperance, which is self-control. And the Holy Spirit comes inside of every believer the moment they're saved. There's one indwelling, there's many fillings, but as we are saved, He indwells us, and as we're filled with the Spirit, and as we get the sin out of our life, and as we get pride out of our life, and as we get self, and we constantly crucify self, and I know it's a daily battle to put down self and to crucify self. Even Paul said, I die daily. And Christ said, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. It's a daily discipline to put down self. But the more of sin out of our lives, the more of self out of our lives, the more the Spirit of God fills us. And as we walk from day to day and week to week and month to month and year to year, trying to yield more and more and more to the Holy Spirit, just as a tree grows bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon there's fruit on that tree. And the next year, more fruit. And the next year, more fruit. And next year, more fruit. And next year, so much fruit, the branches are hanging down. So the fruit of the Spirit is a product of a person walking with the Holy Ghost for some time. And that divine power in our lives causes us to have love that we've never had before, joy that we've never had before, and peace towards God, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance. And that gentleness begins to control us so that we're not so sharp with people anymore. We're not so short with people anymore. And we're not so angry with people. Love is not easily provoked. And we don't get provoked easily, and we don't get irritated so easily anymore with little things and take it out often on those closest to us. And it begins to change us. We start to become more and more gentle with those that are around us. Gentleness is spirituality. There's some people that seem to live a lifetime and they just never learn this. They're saved. Maybe they know the Lord, but they just never learn it, and they kind of make your life difficult when they're not gentle. David had some in his life that were like that. It says in 2 Samuel 3, verse 39, I read this. He's at the end of his life after all of these years and years and years and years and years and years and years of battling. And these years and years and years of being around the same men, he gives this sad commentary about some men that were very close to him. Turns out they were his nephews. He says in 2 Samuel 3:39, and I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. What a sad thing. Asahel, Abishai, and Joab were the sons of Zeruiah. Zeruiah was David's sister. And his sister Zeruiah had three boys, Joab, Asahel, and Abishai. And David, he was no wimp, believe me. This guy was a warrior. This guy had been through it. And when this guy said, you sons of Zeruiah are too hard for me. Joab shed the innocent blood of Abner in peacetime. They were violent men. And David said, you're just too much for me, you guys. That's sad, isn't it? Sad when people live their whole life proud and angry and contentious and violent with others, and they disrupt the spirit of the righteous. David was a man after God's own heart. I hope that's not like us. I hope we're not hard and critical on people all of our lives. I hope we'll change and be gentle towards people. What a sad testimony. Gentleness is spirituality. As we walk in the Spirit, He produces a more gentle man, more gentle woman. Gentlemen, we need to be spiritual men. And then number two, gentleness is wisdom. Gentleness is wisdom. Turn to James chapter number 3. In James chapter number 3 in your Bible, beginning at verse 15, it tells us about that devilish wisdom. Remember, we read earlier that Lucifer, when he was corrupted by his own iniquity, he was a self-created sinner. God did not make him sin. God gave him a free will, like he gave all of us. He chose to use that free will to be dazzled by his own beauty, to start thinking he was better than others because he was so beautiful, and to demand the worship of other people. And because God rejected him and God cast him out, it says he was filled with violence and anger and wrath on the inside. And he remains that way to this day. Just look at the havoc he's wreaking on the human race in the world today. He's a violent creature. And his wisdom was corrupted. God made him all wise. Lucifer never had to learn wisdom. God just put it in him. But that wisdom became corrupt. But we also find out later in the Bible what true wisdom is. You can learn it in Proverbs 9 and all through the book of Proverbs. It says in Proverbs 9 and verse 1, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. And then we learn what the seven pillars of wisdom are in James 3 and verse 17. You can count them. But the wisdom is from above is first pure, number one, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Those are the seven pillars of wisdom. And I want you to notice that one of the seven pillars of wisdom is gentleness. The wisdom that is from above, that is from God, is first pure. When you or I pray to God for wisdom, He always begins by answering us, is it pure? Is it pure? Someone says, Lord, can I go to the bar tonight? The Lord says, is it pure? Lord, can I go out on a date with this girl unchaperoned in a car? Would you give me wisdom about that? Is it pure? Can I have intimate relationships with the opposite sex before marriage? Lord, give me wisdom about that. He says, is it pure? A lot of times, you know, wisdom's not a hard thing to figure out. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally, but then go to the seven pillars of wisdom and line up your decision with the seven pillars. And will your building stand? Will your life stand based on wisdom? But there's a corrupted wisdom that we have to battle. Beginning in verse 15, remember how Lucifer's wisdom was corrupted. It says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. He's talking about all the fighting that's going on between believers in verse 14 and human beings. But it is earthly, sensual, devilish. May I paraphrase? It's of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Earthly is the world. Sensual is the flesh. Devilish is the devil. Have you ever heard that our three enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil? And the world will give you wisdom that does not line up with God's wisdom. It's warm out. Take your clothes off. Everybody else's. The world says, it's okay, everybody else is doing it. Go ahead and fornicate, the world says. Everybody else is doing it. That wisdom doesn't descend from above. And that's why one out of two people by the age of 25 have an STD nowadays. They're following the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world is not, the wisdom that's from below is not only worldly, earthly, it's sensual, your flesh. Your flesh will tell you all kinds of things that aren't right. You ever notice that? Do you still live in your flesh? Man, I do. Gives me all kinds of advice that's not scriptural or spiritual. The flesh teaches wisdom here in verse 15. If it feels good, do it. Well, that sounds smart, doesn't it? Feels good, do it. And then there's devilish wisdom. And boy, look at the things he's corrupted. Look at the doctrines, the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that have spread through this world today. Very, very complex lies that people believe in the scientific realm, the political realm, and so on and so forth. And we live in a country where people don't even know what marriage is nowadays. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But notice, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. There has to be an element of divine peace given to it. The old saying that's safe to this day is, if in doubt, don't. If in doubt, don't. There's an element of peace, divine peace given to the decision. When we pray for God to give us wisdom, if there's no peace that accompanies the decision, don't do it. Man, I've met people, I married him, and I knew when I was walking down the aisle I shouldn't do it. I've heard women say that. Just knew I shouldn't have done it. I've heard men say that. But notice, third of all, gentleness. It's one of the pillars of wisdom. Gentleness is wisdom. What wisdom? Being gentle is always the right decision. Do you ever feel like really telling someone off? Did you ever accomplish anything that way spiritually? I mean, did you ever really gain anything for the kingdom of God that way? By really telling somebody off? I never have. I've hurt a lot of people. I've driven people away from the Lord. Driven people away from the church in more foolish days. I hope I'm still not doing it. I try not to. Gentleness is always the right decision. I still to this day, my flesh tells me a lot of times, boy, I just want to tell this person off. Man, I want to just really tell them what I think. But then the Holy Spirit will say, be gentle. And I can't tell you, and I'll get to that in a minute, I can't tell you how many times that has happened where it's helped. And I want to say, last of all, number three, gentleness is effective. Gentleness is effective. Turn to Psalm 18 and verse 35. Psalm 18 and verse 35. David, at the end of his life, when God finally gives him peace after all the wars with Saul and other Philistines, he says in verse 35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Notice number three, gentleness is effective. Gentleness is effective. Gentleness is spirituality. Gentleness is wisdom. I mean, a wise husband is going to be gentle with his wife. He's going to be gentle with his wife. A wise wife is going to be gentle with her husband. Wise parents are going to be gentle with their children. They're going to discipline. They're going to spank and all the other things the Bible tells us to do. They're going to teach. They're going to admonish. They're going to lead by example. But they're going to be gentle. As Jacob said, lead on softly. Don't drive like cattle. He said, lead on softly. He said, we're going to lose the kids if we don't lead on softly. When he was talking to Esau. Wisdom is effective. Notice the effect on David. David recognized very humbly, at the end of his life, he recognized that God had made him a great man. He wasn't bragging. He was just stating a fact. And when he was talking about his greatness at the end of his life, he said, the reason why I'm great is because God has been gentle with me. God should have creamed me when I did that thing with Bathsheba. God should have killed me when I did that thing with Uriah. God should have smacked me senseless when I called for that census and 70,000 people died because of it. He said, I've occasioned the death of God's priests. He made some mistakes along the way. And he had to suffer some complications and some consequences in his life because of it. There were consequences. But he said, all through it, God was gentle with me. God was gentle with me. And he says, now my reign is over. And let's look back at it. What made me great was the gentleness of God. Thy gentleness hath made me great. It's hard for children to really grow and reach their potential as human beings and as believers if they have a father who's hard on them or always scolding them. Or if they have a mother who's always hard on them or always scolding them. They tend to recoil. They tend to say, why should I even try? And they miss their creative potential that God wants to produce through them. But moms and dads who are loving and kind and gentle, and they have to correct and they have to spank and all those types of things, but they're gentle with them. They will allow their children to develop a creativity in them that produces potential greatness for their kids to achieve. I mean, there's children all over this world that once they get old enough, leave mom and dad's house and never go back. So sad. Never want to talk with mom and dad again. Never visit them in the nursing home because their upbringing was so harsh. In many cases, they say that a father only speaks to his children 2 or 3 minutes a day, and that's just to scold them. Many, many people have many inward conflicts in their lives because they never received the blessing from their fathers. You know, men, Jesus is our example. And he said these words from his heart one time in Matthew 23 and verse number 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not." Did you know one of the names God calls himself actually has a feminine connotation to it? It's called El Shaddai. It means the all-sufficient one, the satisfying one, the pleasure-giving one. El Shaddai actually comes from the word shad, which is the Hebrew word for the female breast. It means the breasted one. The one that, though he's a man and all of man, he still has enough of the maternal instincts to want to comfort his children. He's gentle. In closing, turn to Isaiah 40 and verse 11. Did I say in closing already? Sometimes I use it a few times. It gives you hope to see the end of this long day. Isaiah 40 and verse 11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." This is a prophecy of our Lord. Notice his gentleness. Notice his maternal. Notice he's like a hen. That's a female chicken. He said, "I wish like a hen I could have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you wouldn't." Remember when my children were growing up, I made it a point if they fell and skinned their knees that I would be there to hug them. That I would be there to hold them. That I would be there to kiss them. That I would be there to brush the tears away. I wanted them to know that part of being a man is being gentle. I didn't brush them off on their mother every time they started bleeding or something. But I tried to be there for them. I tried to be the one that administered the discipline, spanking, sometimes severe, but right after, to hold them in my arms and cry with them. I tell them, "I just want you to be good. I want you to be a good citizen someday and a good Christian someday." Gentlemen, gentlemen, if you're leading a wife, be a gentleman. If you're leading children, be a gentleman. If you're leading church, be a gentleman. If you're leading a class, be a gentleman. If you're leading employees underneath you, be a gentleman. If you've risen to be the spiritual leader in your neighborhood, in the houses around you, be a gentleman to your neighbors. Isaiah 42 says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." I never raised my voice. When I was raising the children, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench." Can you imagine that? The gentleness of Christ, he wouldn't even break a bruised reed. He wouldn't even put out some smoking flax. It's
how gentle our Lord was.
Don't hurt the bruised.
Don't hurt the bruised. Gentleness is effective. If we're going to have a good church, we're going to have to be a gentle church. We're going to have to be gentle towards the young ones that the Lord says sends our way. We're going to have to be careful about being what some call hardcore fundamentalists. They oftentimes hurt those little babes in Christ that come here. First thing we want to do is change their behavior and change their looks and change the way they dress, and how dare you come in here like that, and so on and so forth. There once was a single mom who walked into a church in rags with her little boy who was dressed in rags. She was seated in an obscure place by one of the ushers and scorned during the service. On the way out, one of the ushers took her aside and said, "Dear lady, if you ever come back to this church, don't you ever dress like that again." The young boy saw the hurt on his mother's face, and he never got over it. And something flipped in his heart, in his mind. And he said, "I will spend the rest of my life trying to destroy Christianity." And his name was Karl Marx. And I just wonder if somebody had practiced some gentleness that day in church, if all of human history might be a little different. Gentleness is effective. Gentleness is spirituality, and gentleness is wisdom. It's always the right decision. Let's bow for prayer. Our Holy Father, we pray you'd help us now, this Father's Day, to be gentlemen in a world that's increasing in violence, a world that's increasing in perilous times, and men are becoming proud and lovers of their own self and incontinent and unable to control themselves and fierce. And we're seeing it more and more. Rage. And yet, Lord, in this darkness, what a chance for men to rise up and be an example of gentleness. Lord, I pray for more gentleness. I pray for more of the Holy Ghost on me. Pray for more wisdom in dealing with people, that we'd be careful, that parents would know to be gentle. Husbands would be gentle with their wives and wives with their husbands and with our children, our grandchildren. Lord, help us. Oh God, change us, we pray in Jesus' name.